Hello and welcome to the Your Politics podcast from RTE News. I'm Sandra Hurley, and this week we're joined by our political correspondent Micheál Lehane, political coverage editor Joe McGreely, and political reporter Fiacra O'Kiona. Well, we are back in business here at Leinster House after a refreshing summer break and heading into a busy dull term, an early budget, and quite possibly a general election. But Taoiseach Simon Harris, did he even get a summer break, Micheál? He's been firing on all cylinders. Was there any downtime for him?
No, there never was going to be, though, wasn't it? It was always going to be that. But perhaps even by his own standards, there was a higher intensity to it. And he's involved in everything. He's even discussing the last 50 metres of Daniel Whiffen's gold medal winning performance, such as Simon Harris's knowledge of all things. And at the Paralympics this week, he was literally wearing the green jersey. He went out there, he wore the green jersey, and there's statements coming aplenty. I suppose this is a Taoiseach who's new in the job. It's also a Taoiseach that is very close to general election one way or the other. And it is someone who is a high energy performer. So, and as Leo Varadkar said recently, that was always, he was that too, coming into his first election. That can be sustained for a while.
And Joe, even this week, he was at Ballinabloe on Sunday. On Monday, there was a government press conference at government buildings. On Tuesday, a one-day trip to Paris. Some nice pictures of him meeting the French President Emmanuel Macron at the Elysee Palace. Can he possibly sustain this?
Well, he was always high energy, in fairness to the Taoiseach. Clearly, he's set out to meet and greet as many people as possible in the office since April. I mean, you're talking there about the international as well as the national. He's been, I'd say he's been at six or seven agricultural shows around the country as well throughout the summer. So he really has been getting out there. I think it's fairly well acknowledged by a lot of people that he's brought new energy to the party, and he's given the party a bit of a fillip in this period, because the election is either soon or very soon. And I think that, because he's in this particular period of time, he will continue to do that with the aim of getting as much energy and as much fizz as possible into the party and into the campaign ahead of that vote, whenever it is.
And summer is easier too, isn't it? It's easier for governments and that this has proven no different. And he aligned himself and linked himself to the Olympics. I mean, gratuitously, but in a way that probably just about got away with it compared to others in the past, like who look more clumsy, like Shane Ross, and the fact he doesn't put a foot wrong in those scenarios. But the big things are still there. The things like the housing crisis and what has to be done to alleviate that. And you're looking into a winter period as well, where health will inevitably bubble up, and that at the time of the election then becomes a key question around all that.
Yeah, I would say as well that, look, we've touched on some of it there, but one of the big issues, I'm sure, to the front of Simon Harris's mind is when the general election is going to be called, when he's going to call it, or when it might be called on his behalf, perhaps. And, you know, a key part of that for any new leader and any leader who's looking to act like there's new energy in a party is to just be everywhere, to be in every single headline. It might be somewhat perplexing to some people, but, you know, it has been done in the past. Bertie Ahern wasn't immune from doing this as well, that whatever the story is, just tie yourself into it. Charlie Haughey, of course, back in Italia 90, doing his lap of honour after, his success in getting Ireland to the quarterfinals of Italia 90.
Stopping President Hillary from travelling
exactly,
to Rome, of course. He
exactly.
Went that far.
Couldn't
see Simon Harris being able to stop Michael D.
Well, I don't know if he'd stop Michael D, but perhaps he would have an interest in saying, look, whatever the story is, make sure you're front and centre.
So when do you think, Fiacra, is the question? When will it be?
When will the election be itself? Well, look, you know, an election's never decided until it's decided, of course. And, you know, that's happened in the past where people have thought it would be one particular date and might be another. But, you know, the two key months really being looked at, two key windows. One is November, one is March. And there's points either way in it. You know, in terms of possibly going to March, you know, they keep saying that it's going to go to March. And, of course, you know, everybody believes a politician when they say something. Secondly, as well, roughly speaking, we've only had around, I think, three general elections in the history of the state in either October or November. So they tend not to happen. It tends to be in earlier times. And there's a big one as well in terms of when it might be March, just a budget benefit. Now, in terms of doing it in November, it's momentum for Fine Gael in particular. In terms of November, it's avoiding by-elections. And, you know, there's arguments on either side of it.
Micheál, just to come to you on this, we're going to be talking about the timing of the election nonstop. Every week on this podcast, endless newspaper columns, and there's no election until there is one. But at the moment, the government parties are doing well in the polls. Yeah. Certainly Sinn Féin has fallen back. Surely the government won't want to allow Sinn Féin the time to regroup.
Yeah, and I mean, there is a belief in government that that's what happened the last time. Sinn Féin didn't have a spectacular period into that winter, but Mark Ward did get elected, didn't he, after the big push out in Dublin Midwest, and that was seen to have regenerated the party. There's also, I suppose, that reality that people, so many people, when you look at the polls, probably don't really make up their minds till the election starts proper anyway. So you have to put that there. But there is momentum with the government, and if there is going to be a big budget with lots of giveaways, the only way that governments will feel anything off the back of that is if it happens fairly quickly afterwards. And what you have at the moment are backbench TDs saying, will there be enough time to get that budget leaflet drawn up before the election is called? Because, of course, that would be published on the Oireachtas printing system before an election. So that's the kind of level and detail of thinking that's going on. For all that, Simon Harris hasn't indicated to the two other government party leaders what he's going to do. There is a belief within government buildings. People are going around at a heightened state of anxiety. There's a level of intensity there that probably is above what it was in 2019, 2020. It's going to be very hard to sustain that.
Call it, Micheál. Come on.
Well, can't see the logic in going to March. I mean, perhaps. I mean, there was a great, interesting line from the Ciarán Cóirle in an interview with Elaine Loughlin in The Examiner about a month ago, when he said that the Taoiseach says it's going to be spring, the other leaders do too. And he said, that's the number one requirement for leaders to speak the truth. And if you can't believe them on that, well, how can anybody believe anything? That's the only grounds you could say that, and Simon Harris staying in the job for a bit longer. He would have to explain why he's changed his mind, but he would have changed his mind.
And Joe, the selection conventions, though, are happening at pace. We're seeing these news releases coming in, Fine Gael selecting their candidates, the Greens, Fianna Fáil, everybody. So surely that tells us the party machinery is booting up. They want to be ready for November.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's all those imperatives that Micheál's talking about. They're all there. The preparation for an election, naturally, everybody's preparing for the election. They're getting their posters printed. The selection conventions are happening at pace as well, because you just have to be ready, because once it's even mentioned that it might be in November, of course, you have to be ready for that date. Whether it is or it isn't, I think, is very much an open question, because this is exactly the same conversation that was happening in the run-up to the 2020 election.
That's the point, Joanne. There's this belief deep in the DNA of Fine Gael that they got around not once. They listened to Joan Burton the first time.
Yeah.
They had Brexit the second time. And whether it's right or wrong, and it may not that they've messed that one up twice.
Yeah, well, that may well be the case until we hear Simon Harris obviously saying differently. And, of course, he hasn't been having FaceTime with other party leaders
on purpose, but
meets them on Monday evening, but they won't for the first time.
They won't discuss it on Monday. It's on purpose that they're going to get the budget done first and avoid this conversation for a while. It'll be the weeks after. I mean, that finance bill, about 2 weeks, so you're looking October 14th. Yeah. There was one thing that apparently, when Leo Varadkar was leader, wasn't keen on the idea of October into November as a result of what happened in Middleton, that massive flooding in the middle of October last year. Countering that is that view and that belief that before the clocks go back, you do have a bit of daylight in the evenings. You've some bit, something that you don't get at all into February. And politicians too will say in those February elections, no one is in good form after Christmas.
And there is one other argument as well that I've heard people making, which is that in terms of Fine Gael, because so many TDs are not standing again, that there's a whole slew of new candidates out there, 16 or so, who will have to up their own profiles in a very short period of time in order to go before the electorate for the general election. So they're being selected, not all selected yet even. It'll be the end of September before they are. So they'll have a bit of work to do. So, you know, there's arguments for, there's arguments against.
But one argument for FIGRA is that we know that there's going to be cost of living payments announced in the budget. Now, there seems to be a bit of sort of arithmetic trickery going on here, because these payments are going to come out in November and December. They're going to land in people's pockets. They're not actually coming out of budget 2025. What they will do is reduce the surplus for this year. Isn't that another indicator that they'll probably go in November?
Oh, of course it is. And look, you know, there's a lot of logic for going until March. But if you look at the mood music around Leinster House, you look at what you've just said in terms of the cost of living funds being kind of fast forwarded basically to November. You just look around the place at the moment, where Fine Gael has, I think it's September 20th that they'll have all their candidates selected. Fianna Fáil is saying, oh, we don't have a specific date, but yeah, we're ready as well. The Green Party will also be ready by the end of September. And you look around Leinster House, the fact is that everyone is trying to get a bit of a rest and get ready for what is to come, basically. It feels like it's unravelling. It feels like it's time, certainly, for the election. But just because it's time, just because there is a window there, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen in November. The options are there for November or for March. And as Micheál was saying earlier, you know, we had the same scenario in what happened to be the 2020 election. There was a lot of talk about maybe doing it in October, November. Now, the reasoning at the time not to do it then was, well, Brexit isn't quite sorted out. You know, wear the green jersey, et cetera, et cetera. We can't have instability here at that point of time. We also had it in 2016, where there were lots of rumours about, again, an autumn election in 2015. There were even some quite significant reports saying that, look, that is definitely going to happen. And then that
front
was going to happen.
Irish Times, of
front
course.
Page of Irish yeah. Times. High-level sources had indicated it to a colleague of ours until they didn't indicate it between the time of them saying it and the time of going to press. So it's one of those things that until a decision is firmly made and, you know, Simon Harris, as Joe says, goes before a microphone and says it, there is no decision between November and March. The options are just
there. But Micheál, something we are seeing is that clearly the three coalition parties are going to have to pull apart. They're going to have to carve out their own identities. I was at an announcement earlier with the Children's Minister, Roderick O'Gorman, talking about childcare cuts. And it was clear that at times he was speaking more as the leader of the Green Party, giving an insight into manifesto promises that the Green Party are going to make on childcare, as opposed to a government minister. They're going to have to manage that over the next few months.
Yeah, and the Greens kind of went early on that, didn't they, with the land hoarding tax and the row that was there, and they did stand their ground on that one, and there has been a compromise. The fact, I suppose, that a compromise came so quick would suggest that maybe the government can be kept on the rails if it has to be. But I do, if you look at that, you look at it from the Greens' point of view, could you see massive resistance from Roderick O'Gorman if it's put to him that there's going to be a November election? I don't think so. Micheál Martin has constantly spoken about full term as well. But I think some in Fine Gael now believe perhaps he would be more malleable if it was put to him that this is what the Taoiseach is thinking, and then the push would be on. Not everyone in Fine Gael is categorically on the side of the November election, but a majority are. What does seem to be true and does hold true, because sometimes politicians do keep things close and they do keep secrets despite everything, it doesn't seem, despite the fact you have Fine Gael people writing, and they're writing dates about November 15 and the like, that Simon Harris has given a clear indication to anyone either way that the cards are being get close to his chest on that one.
Is it easier, perhaps, Joe, for the Greens to carve out their identity? We saw this in the row on the residential zoned land tax. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael kind of on the same page, the Greens striking out separately. Are Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael going to face a tougher time trying to appeal to their individual voters?
Well, there's no doubt about it. That particular issue has been a big issue in rural Ireland, and especially amongst the farming community, the residential zoned land tax. It strikes me, because I was at a couple of those press conferences as well, it's an issue that was far more alive to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael than perhaps to the Green Party, because within the farming community, the rural Ireland generally, they're not going to be lobbying Green Party TDs. They're lobbying their local Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael because they're not there frequently enough, apart from one or two. So that very definitely was a case of them responding, and Fine Gael have made a big play to get that farming vote over the last number of months, and it's clearly something that they are prioritising, as are Fianna Fáil. And I suppose there's competition between the two of them to try and see who's the farmer's best friend. So when you saw Jack Chambers come out last week, I think it was in the Irish Independent where it was first reported that it wasn't just that it was going to be tweaked, that residential zone tax, it was going to be deferred completely, and on the basis that there wasn't going to be time to give that carve out for farmers. But of course, that quickly changed. I mean, the Taoiseach was clear, more or less from that point, that he still wanted to see it going ahead. But the carve out for farmers would be there. And then when Roderick O'Gorman returned, because he was actually abroad when all of that kicked off, he made it clear as well that it needs to go ahead. So, I mean, there is competition there. You do see it, and it will likely continue. And certainly while leaders smooth it over, we saw Green Party TDs were not holding back when they first gave their reaction to it. They were very, very strong.
Yeah.
There was talk about, you know, denying food and the famine and that sort of thing. So it was very, very strong. So, you know, we'll see loads of that, I think.
And Fiacra, just to come to you, we've talked a lot about the government parties and how they're going to manage this. The opposition, we're going to hear more from them in the next 2 weeks, because all the parties are going to have their pre-parliamentary think-ins, these things are sometimes maybe a glorified kind of press opportunity, an opportunity to gain headlines, although the parties, I'm sure, would maintain that they are doing a lot of thinking and they're formulating policy. What are the opposition up to?
Well, yeah, it's exactly that. So the opposition will be aware that, look, government is grabbing a lot of headlines, or certainly making sure the headlines and the spotlight is on them. They do have an opportunity with the think-in. So these are the pre-Dáil's Return think-ins, a couple of days that people will be aware of, sometimes only about half a day or so. Labour will be first out next week. They'll be having theirs, and obviously then following Sinn Féin and other parties as well. They will probably be focusing on the fact that, look, they need to get their policies out. So, you know, Sinn Féin next week is likely to be publishing its definitive housing policy. Now, it's had a couple of policies on housing before. It's obviously had to reposition itself a little bit given recent polls, and it's looking to reprioritize again what it says it will do on housing. We'll obviously have Labour looking to promote its own candidates. We'll have People Before Profit looking to highlight probably its very strongly held views on the migration debate and the economy and issues like that. So, like, it is really a case of opposition parties fighting for headlines. And as we were talking there, and as Joe was saying there, the farmers' tax was a good example of government parties looking to position themselves as well. It shouldn't be lost on anyone that Fine Gael, I think, is having its pre-Dáil thinking. It's the only party down the country that is having his pre-Dáil thinking.
Everyone else so far seems to be in Dublin.
And that Simon Harris last week, when he was addressing maybe the quick off the mark from Fianna Fáil on the farm tax, that he kept talking about that farmers won't have to face a tax bill. He was up at the Virginia Fair, so he was obviously making a big play for it. Now, it should be noted as well, just maybe as a good example of where we are at the moment, that Roderick O'Gorman was away last week when this was happening. The Green Party may have felt stuck. We're in calm end of summer days, and an issue erupted. Now, where was Roderick O'Gorman? Roderick O'Gorman, and I had this confirmed from the Greens, he was climbing Mount Vesuvius when an eruption of issues occurred in the coalition. So maybe these things kind of spur up and then they get resolved very quickly.
And Joe, just very briefly, last weekend you were at the think-in of Ireland, one of Ireland's newest opposition parties, Independent Ireland. They now have three TDs, an MEP, and is it 23 councillors? What were they talking about?
23 councillors, yeah. Well, they're presenting a raft of policies for the prospective candidates who will stand under their banner. But a very interesting thing about them is not so much what they were saying there, but the view taking, certainly in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, that these independents are a threat to them, that they're taking very seriously in a lot of rural areas. They see them as potentially being able to take a lot of support, or even a little support, which will make all the difference when it comes to seats. They, of course, would view them as populist in that they don't have the same obligation to present and explain policy because they're in opposition, and so they have a great advantage in that. But it is something. They have arrived on the scene now. They have made a splash. They have their three TDs. They won their seat in the European Parliament, and they did have a very good local election. So they are feeling optimistic, and they're feeling energised, I think, as well. And they are certainly going into this election. They haven't, Michael Collins hasn't said how many seats he hopes to win, but he's saying that there will be a significant number of people standing, and they're hoping to pick up quite a number of seats.
And then, Micheál, something else we should mention when we were talking about the selection conventions. We've got a few celebrity names in the mix.
Yeah, Grainne Shoig, you're the big name to replace Éamon O'Caoimh, potentially when that selection convention
takes place. She is going forward for the convention.
In Galway West.
Yeah.
Alison Cumann, the former presenter of Sky News, selected for Fianna Fáil already now, isn't it, in Louth. The celebrity thing is never quite as clear in relation to Dáil elections as it is in European elections. It really does work. Sometimes in by-elections it can work, where we all know of people with prominent positions and when public life who have made the breakthrough in by-elections. But it is interesting, even footballers and GAA stars who sometimes would have a lot of recognition locally can struggle in the early part to get through their first election.
Mm. Yeah, I think some of that kind of comes down to, as well, making sure that you have a base in the constituency. Obviously, some local councillors may have their nose out of joint a little bit if they suddenly get, after years of hard work, that they get nudged to one side. But a party has to look at, you know, an election's coming, who's the face, who's the recognition, and obviously celebrity candidates do kind of benefit from that.
And gender clearly is going to be a factor, because we have got these gender quotas going up to 40% in the general election. Mm-hmm. So in a five-seaters like Galway West, you could have a man and a woman.
Well, that's vitally important, and that's one thing, that there isn't going to be a party that isn't going to have 40% female candidates this time around, because the cost to them is going to be massive. I mean, the big parties are getting €1.2 million per year from the Oireachtas, and they will lose a vast quantity of that money if they don't get to that threshold. So that's very, very important. It's interesting, Alison Cumann obviously added to the ticket in Louth. In Gráinne Shoiga's case, she's taking the long way around. She's seeking the nomination. She's got the requisite signatures to go before the conventions. We don't know yet when the convention's going to be.
There's maybe up to seven people.
There's eight people.
Eight, okay.
And she is the only female candidate of those eight. So, you know, you can read what you like into that about her chances of getting the nomination. She also does have, in fairness, she has the advantage of the Irish language. And in that, there's that large South Connemara area there. She more or less has most of that area to herself as well. So, you know, she stands out of the crowd in that regard. But, you know, we don't know when the convention is. I heard some suggestion that it might be next Friday week, mm-hmm. A week from this Friday. But we'll see what will happen there. Okay. Certainly, I think she's going to make a bit of a splash.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
And don't forget, it's only about 10 days now from when the Kildare North Fine Gael selection convention will take place. And the oldest member of the House now looks likely that he will be on the ticket again. That's Bernard Durkin.
Yes, remarkably, he had been on that list potentially of people who might not run again, but he says he will.
He says he will, and it's the convention now is nearing.
Okay, excellent. Right, well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening to the Your Politics podcast, and we'll be back again next Thursday.